It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Congratulations, you're finally off work. It's 5 o'clock, and luckily for you, Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And yes, Nick Caserio spoke yesterday, and he spoke about a timeline, the timeline they have set for Davis Mills. This was Nick Caserio.
Yeah, no different than any other player. Bring them in, teach them our system, teach them our terminology, take it one step at a time. Again, different players are going to be able to absorb more information than others. Some can learn it quickly and move on to the next thing. Okay, so each player is going to be different. Each learning progression is going to be a little bit different. So part of our job as coaches is to get a feel, okay, this is too much. This guy, you can load his bucket a little bit, okay? And that's the teaching component. And then when you get on the field, again, it's about fundamentals and it's about a foundation. It's not about X's and O's at this point.
All right. His first thought was the timeline is it's just like the other players.
Yeah,
like
coming in. That's the timeline, just like everybody else. Until Friday, the timeline for Davis Mills, the quarterback the Texans drafted in the third round. It's just when he gets here Friday, it's going to change, right? I mean, Nick Caserio said it right there. He said some guys absorb things a little bit faster than others. He said. It's about learning progressions. It's about, this guy's bucket over here, you can load up. This guy here, you may want to slow down a little bit on. The expectations for Davis Mills will be the same as everybody else until everybody else gets here. And Davis Mills needs to prove that he can absorb things, in Nick Caserio's terms, can absorb things a little faster than others. That he has a bucket that you can load up with information.
He needs to have that.
And he needs to have it. And he needs to be able to do those things at a rate that's not normal for rookies. And that's who the Texans need him to be. Now, whether he can do it or not, the Texans will find out. They'll find out this weekend. Nick Caserio is going to minimize anything to do with the rookies. You're not going to hear from them much. They're rookies. You got to earn it. They're all on the same timeline. It's about all the basics, about the fundamentals. But there's an evaluation that started when the kid was drafted. How does he deal with the media? How does he talk to the team? When he gets to town, how does he communicate eye to eye, face to face? All those things matter. When Davis Mills gets here Friday, if he's not already here, and this rookie mini camp starts, the down and dirty evaluation of, okay, let's see how this kid can take a very small sample size of a game plan. How can he study it, retain it, and take it to the field and apply it? It's going to be very minimal. It'll be very simple. But how well he does it will definitely change the course of expectation for Davis Mills in terms of what the Texans expect him to do moving forward.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. At the beginning, But they can't, the Texans got to find out exactly what they have in him, and this is the first step, this rookie minicamp. He's, to me, once they get into it, his track has to be a little bit faster than Nico Collins. His track has to be a little bit faster than the tight end Jordan they drafted out of Miami, because they got to know. Now, if he's not able, like you said, if he ain't able to handle more things on his plate, and that continues, and it slows his development and slows their ability to see exactly what they have, then they know more quickly what they're going to have to do potentially next year, that maybe they haven't found their franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. So, look, if to me, and this is where I sit on the Davis Mills, and this won't change. There's 75% of what the Texans need to learn about him, they can learn about behind closed doors without, in other words, not game film, not necessarily in-season practice. They can find out 75% of what they need, and we may never know. He may be inactive the whole time, and they'd be high on him as ever, right? But where I sit with Davis Mills is, It's going to be ideal for the Houston Texans to get him on the field as soon as he's ready, right? Not hide him as an inactive player. Get him on the field. This is a guy that you compare to Joe Burrow situation. Mm-hmm. You compare him to guys that are Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. Those guys are going to be expected. They're drafted by rebuilding football teams, and they are going to be expected to take the bull by the horns. Now, the expectations for those first rounders is a little different than Davis Mills.
And they have an advantage because they know they don't just have a year to really impress.
Right. The timeline is ultimately going to end up being different. But the point is if you're a Houston Texans fan and you're looking at Davis Mills and going, well, Dak Prescott didn't start right away. Well, you know, Tom Brady didn't start right away. That's a different deal. Those guys were sitting behind established starters in this league. They were with organizations that were nowhere near the rebuilding phase that the Texans are in right now. You got to go to teams that were rebuilding, teams that were dysfunctional, that drafted quarterbacks and put high expectations on their shoulders immediately. It's Joe Burrow. It's the guys that were drafted earlier this year. Typically, it's a top 10 or top 15 draft pick. In Houston, they didn't have those picks, so they took a swing at a guy in the third round that they felt like slid down to him. Most boards had him rated the sixth best quarterback after the top five went. Texans got him as the eighth quarterback taken. There should be some similar expectations to whether he can be that guy or not.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros, they lose game one yesterday, 5-4. They look to get back onto their 18-17, look to avoid to getting back to 500. And they face the Angels again. And this, I'm sorry, maybe this shouldn't get me anymore, but this still does. The Angels' starting pitcher is also batting second tonight. Shohei Ohtani is batting second tonight for the Angels, and he's going to start. That is still amazing to me that he's one of their best hitters, and there's like Little League, and he's starting pitcher. Like he's Kelly Lee.
like Little League.
Yeah, like he's Kelly Lee from Bad News Bears or something. He's just going to do everything.
Right. It's wild, right?
But yeah, they go against that tonight to try to get back even in this series. They've been doing really well winning series except for that Yankee series. But tonight they get Ohtani, and he's going to be pitching and hitting, and he's tough both ways. But this is one you hope that we see the Astros don't make the same mistakes and have the same missed opportunities they had last night.
Yeah, look, with this lineup, with the Angels lineup, man, you've got to capitalize on when you're given the opportunities. The Astros in the first inning, they had runners on second and third, no outs with the meat of their lineup coming up, and they didn't get another run. They ended up scoring one before that, but they didn't score another run. And then I believe it was in the second inning, they had runners on first and second with no outs and Altuve at the plate and got – and I think they maybe ended up getting a run, but Altuve hit into a double play, and they didn't end up capitalizing on those two opportunities early in the game. They had a chance to really blow it open early, and they didn't get that done. And in that moment, I thought, man, that's going to come back. Those opportunities aren't going to come around often. That's going to come back to bite them, and I'll be damned if it didn't at the end of the game.
Yeah, so hopefully they can avoid that tomorrow or that tonight, and they can get back in the winning ways and tie this series up. At 1.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this is from the Houston Rockets themselves. Today, broadcaster Bill Worrell announced he will retire as the Rockets television play-by-play broadcaster following Houston's final home game of the season versus the LA Clippers on Friday, May 14th. Over four decades, he called games here in Houston, and He's shutting it down after this year, and he's been behind the mic for a lot of great moments here in Houston.
Yeah, look, Bill Worrell was the voice in my years coming up in Baytown, man. I mean, he was 20 years with the Astros as well, and so I mean, you all you had to do was turn the TV on around here, and Bill Worrell was a voice you recognized. So, what a run, right? I mean,
yes.
Good God, 40 years in today's game. And what a timing. How about the timing by Bill Worrell after this Rockets nightmare? It's like,
now.
Hey, man, let me get on up out of here and give it to one of these youngins that's making a move.
That's what it's about for Bill.
That's
what
right.
A great decision.
That's right.
I wonder,
great, man.
I wonder if Bill thinks about hanging in there just a little bit more, potentially if James Harden and Chris Paul were running things here.
You're bringing it back to A-Town.
Look, I'm going to tell you, man, it's like last year I wasn't calling the game, but doing the post-game show, it's tenfold more difficult to do a post-game show for a 4-12 team as it is for a 10-6 team. That's for damn sure.
And calling this, 82 of these.
Man, you got to believe Bill. That this year has wore on Bill Worrell for sure. But I look at Bill Worrell from just a Houston standpoint. I mean, he's a Mattress Mac, right? I mean, Mattress Mac is an absolute legend. Bill Worrell is an absolute legend. And he had a hell of a run.
Yeah, he did. So, congratulations to him. A real legend shutting it down with the Rockets. His final game, final home game, and his game will be against the L.A. Clippers Friday, May 14th.
5 o'clock fire.
The biggest story in the NFL, at least one of them besides Deshaun Watson, is the Aaron Rodgers situation. And his top guy, his top receiver, Devontae Adams, said he would have some extra thinking to do if Aaron Rodgers left Green Bay. And he also said he supports and backs Aaron Rodgers 100%. This thing is getting real. What I mean, Devontae Adams says he backed him. Not that he's mad at him at all. Understands what he's doing and said he'd have some real serious things.
It blows my mind. I mean, we talked about, like, here in Houston, we talked till we were blue in the face about how in the hell do you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson and somehow, some way, give him $111 million guaranteed, that kind of contract, and then somehow the bottom falls out of it. Like, how can folks running billion-dollar organizations have this kind of thing happen? I will never be able to wrap my mind around it. The Aaron Rodgers situation.
That's what Mike Holmgren said.
He should have saw this coming. I mean, they should have saw this. This is precisely why you don't play with fire. Call it what you want. Call him a diva. Call him hard to deal with. Whatever you want to call him. But when a quarterback of that caliber has problems with the organizations and they're legit problems, the other superstars on the team are going to side with the quarterback. And they should have saw this coming.
That he wants to leave.
They should have saw this coming from a mile away. Now you got Aaron Rodgers. Team been to the NFC Championship two straight years. They were 8 points away from tying the ball game up late in the fourth against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who ended up winning the Super Bowl this year. And you can't keep your quarterback and the one go-to receiver that you got in the building. You can't keep those guys happy. I mean, how do you talk about ultimate just stupidity.
Mike Holmgren, who is a former head coach for the Packers, won a championship, borderline Hall of Fame level coach, said he can't believe they let it get this way, and he would never have let it gotten this bad if he were the coach or a part of that organization with Aaron Rodgers. All right, we got to pull an audible because apparently Urban Meyer has spoken to the media and given a breakdown of why they have decided potentially to go with Tim Tebow.
Come on.
And apparently he used the term ball skills, and I cannot wait to hear what the hell Urban Meyer had to say. That's coming up next.
A lot of good will come out of this.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
One of the biggest stories yesterday in the NFL was the report that the Jacksonville Jaguars were close to signing Tim Tebow and would sign Tim Tebow by the end of the week. That's Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, everybody. Urban Meyer spoke apparently today. I've not heard it. Clint has not heard it. We're all going to hear it for the first time with you. Urban Meyer spoke about Tim Tebow and what they're thinking with him.
Yeah, we have not signed Tim. There's a thought going around, you know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
That's Urban Meyer on Tim Tebow. Do you believe, Clint, there is any chance they don't sign Tim Tebow?
No, I don't believe there's any chance that they don't sign Tim Tebow. I think that especially after hearing that from Urban Meyer, that he's not the only coach in the building that's in awe of how talented Tim Tebow is, or the kind of shape that he's in at the age that he is. Sure seems like they're well on their way to signing Tim Tebow at this point in time.
Yeah, that's interesting. I still wonder where they see him as a fit. Like, hearing that, they're talking about his ball skills. They told him to go work on this at the, I'm assuming, at the tight end position. But first off, there's no chance, right? I can't believe all those reports will come out and we can hear him talking about it. He's thinking about it and all this. There's no chance they're not going to sign him. Like, he's going to – I'm not going to say he's going to make the team out of it. But
well,
there's no chance.
He's reached a point now with these comments show that, like, that would be a BS deal to Tim. Not that it matters.
Yeah.
Look, I get it that it's NFL. It's nobody's worried about anybody's feelings. But to work him out three times, go on air and say, man, he's in – you know, he's just – people
the
are in awe of his ball skills and the shape he's in.
He looked 18.
Hey, Tim, man, we got a little backlash on this deal, man. We're not going to sign you. Nah, that would be a tough one for – him to execute there.
I can't wait to see him sign him for sure. I can't wait to see those ball skills. I can't.
We'll see.
I want to see his route running. I can't wait to see all
God bless.
Tim.
I can't wait to see him on his campaign tour with Urban around the Jacksonville area selling tickets.
I wonder – I was hoping Urban would say, well, we really liked how he lined up in Wildcat and took the
race. Oh, you better believe that. There is zero doubt about it. Urban Meyer can't wait. I mean, bro, he is.
You think he didn't go to the first workout? Is that what Urban said? He didn't go to the first one.
He may have done that by design to make his coaches or you know think that he don't want to be the one to make the decision. That's the interesting part to this is he's brought the coaches into it.
Yes, because we heard reports today that there are coaches in the building who aren't for this.
Apparently, there's some tension in the building in Jacksonville over this Tim Tebow rumor at this point. He hadn't been signed yet, but he has been worked out three different times.
Extremely sorry.
You're really surprised by the hate that Tim Tebow's getting.
Yeah, look, I'm not surprised because in today's world, yeah. I mean, people take it and spin it in 10 different directions and hate just to hate. I'm surprised how much hate that Tim Tebow is personally getting about trying to stay in the game. About playing the game again and not going on and doing TV and you got other options and why would I'm surprised of how much hate's coming from former players. That to me is really, really interesting. It's you know, I turned the TV on this morning and Keyshawn Johnson's talking about you can't play, just why are you taking a spot from a 21-year-old kid that wants to live out his dream or something along those lines. I'm just like, come on, Keisha. Ain't nobody care about no 21-year-old. You're talking about the 47th or 48th spot on this active roster for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You've never worried about that 21-year-old in that spot before. Now all of a sudden you want to worry about it. You know, Booger McFarland had some comments. I just looked at some different stuff online. Multiple players had some comments about it. It should be at Tim.
None of them. It shouldn't be at Tim. I can understand it being at the situation.
I can understand it being at Urban.
Look,
it doesn't even make sense to me. Like the organization is in a position to where if anything that sells tickets, anything that pushes publicity, anything that helps your sponsorships in corporate America and drives your bottom line, hell, man, get at it. Get after it. I ain't going to blame you for it. He'll be the most valuable, as I said, he'll be the most valuable 47 or 48th guy on a roster in the NFL this year. Zero doubt about it if they do end up signing him. Now, you want to question what the hell is Urban up to? Guy ain't been in the game for 8 years?
Nine.
Is it 9 years?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim, 2012.
2012, see? Okay.
He'd been on the practice squad, though, twice after that, in 13 and 15.
Oh, so he was active.
He just hadn't played any games.
Right,
a lot of good will come out of this.
Hmm.
Now, and he's been playing a completely different position.
Right, yeah, no, I get it. If you want to shoot at a different, if you want to shoot at Urban about what's he doing, signing this guy to the to this, you know, at this position and at this point in his life, you know, so be it. But I can see where the organization says, yeah, I want a little bit of that, and I can see where Tim Tebow goes, hell, I'm ready to give it up. I want to go play. Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, yeah. Tim, yo, I wouldn't. Like, somebody right now came in and said, Clint, if the, the Texans said, man, we want to, we just want to just give you a tryout. I wouldn't think, Clint, you're 43 years old, man. You're taking spots from somebody else.
Right.
I mean, I'd look at the Texans and say, what are we doing here? No offense.
Right.
But, what are we doing here?
Sure.
Like, but I wouldn't look at you and say, shame on you. Like, no, if anyone is thinking, because I think the situation, if you've not heard me the last 2 days, I've tell you, I think the situation, the best way that I can explain it is it's stupid. This is dumb. I think it's silly, and I think it's a mistake.
I think your
ticket seller is the number one savior that's been talked about being the number one pick for the last 3 years in Trevor Lawrence. Let's rock and roll. Let's stay serious. We don't need a stupid sideshow. But I wouldn't tell Tim to say, hey, Tim, you should just not accept this. Or you shouldn't work at this. Oh no, I'm not coming at Tim.
What about Tim Tebow as a special teams guy?
Like, what I mean, like, what position? Like, what? Like, I don't see him as like a gunner, right?
No, he wouldn't be a gunner. No, he'd be a personal protector on a punt team, which would be ideal, perfect for him. He would run down on kickoff. He would be a big part of the kickoff return team. He'd be a big part of every special teams you got. So what is there? Where's your doubt level of him being able to do those things better than the seven or eight guys that are on the squad for special teams only?
But I mean, how many guys do they have that are? I mean, I guess Bill Bates. I mean, how many guys they have just straight?
It's a good
special,
comp, actually. That's
just
a great
straight,
comp.
Just straight special teams where they would say we have no thought about him playing an actual position. I don't know. I mean, I just.
God bless.
I don't know. If he wants to be a personal protector on the punt team or something like that.
I think when we hear Tim Tebow, we automatically think about, like, he's so far from being a superstar. But if this guy's in the – I could see where at 33 years old he's in the best shape of his life. I could 100% see that. Now, he hadn't played ball in forever, so we got to get beyond that. Is it really a stretch to think that the Tim Tebow that you've seen play, if he's in tip-top shape, speed, size, strength, everything – is it a stretch to think that he could play every special team in the book and be a backup, a package guy as a – I think he's going to be a quarterback.
Backup tight end.
I think it's going to – look, he can probably compete with them damn tight ends they got.
And that's a part of it. They don't have nobody, and he can't. He can't compete. He can't compete at tight end. He's better. He'd be better positioned as a quarterback.
As a third string quarterback. I agree.
Better positioned as that.
He's got good ball skills.
I think
they thought when they announced this that it was going to work him out at tight end. I think ultimately that was all just BS. I'm telling you.
Shout out to the Texans. He'd be a hell of a coach.
I would not be surprised if he's not on every special teams and if he did well.
A lot of good will come out of this.
That's right, Timmy.
Tim Tebow, personal protector.
He did that. I think he did that in New York. I think he's done that before.
Tim Tebow, personal protector. All right, Nick Caserio spoke to the media and talked about this upcoming rookie minicamp and said something that Ross Blacklock, Lonnie Johnson, Charles Amenahue, Charlie Heck, your ass should have been listening. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Rookie minicamp coming up at the end of the week, starting May 14th. And Nick Caserio spoke about this yesterday, and it was interesting to hear him talk about what players would be expected to be there and – when you hear what he says, you'll be like, okay, there should be more players than I thought be there.
There's parameters in place in terms of who actually can attend the camp. So your drafted players, your undrafted players, you can have up to 5 tryout players. So, again, that'll come from a myriad of different types of people. And then you have some Houston Texans players on the roster that are available. But, again, you'll want to push them. It's not like it's mandatory. So extend the invitation, hey, to be interested. Again, it's for an opportunity for them, quite frankly, to take some of the stuff they've been doing in the classroom and then maybe get on the field and apply it. Cadence, snap count, blocking technique, you know, go this way on this play just to hear the play call in a huddle. So you're talking about maybe a couple hours over the course of 2 days. It's not going to be like a full-fledged practice, but again, it's kind of to start the process of taking what you learn in the classroom and start to put it on the field in terms of a real live application.
See, we knew the rookies were going to be there.
Yeah,
we knew Davis Mills, Nico Collins and company, they were going to be there, and the undrafted guys. But I'll be honest, I didn't know rookie minicamp. Now it makes sense, you dumbass. Like, there's only six to eight to nine rookies that are drafted in a class, and you don't bring in a ton of undrafted rookies. So, of course, I mean, you ain't going to have 15 people out there at rookie minicamp to be able to run things. Yeah. So extra people are going to be there. But this is something, most definitely there are some players that need to take advantage of this. When he said that Houston Texans players on the roster, there are some that can attend this. Well, there were a slate of rookies last year, Clint, that didn't get to go to rookie minicamp because of the COVID situation. And we kept hearing what about them rookies, Clint?
They ain't ready.
They ain't ready to play.
They don't know anything.
Well, this could be a chance where they could get jump started, right?
Yeah, this is interesting, show, because it's always when I was playing, you know, I went to every rookie mini camp, vet mini camp. I went to every mini camp that I could, and there was always a good chunk of players there. And I'm talking about a big number of players there as a whole. Because it was executed as a practice, essentially. I mean, there was nothing limited because of numbers, and the only difference is
and the OC, DC,
the whole coaching staff. Yeah, absolutely, the whole coaching staff is there. It was a serious deal. But the thing was, it was all the rookies were always there, the drafted rookies and the free agent rookies, and then you had. And I don't remember what the number was, but it was a good chunk of the roster that were second string or third string guys. They were there as well, just to have your numbers up so that you could compete in certain drills. And then there was a good sized number of individuals that were invited to camp. The two that are going to be smaller this year are going to be the players that are invite players that they have a mini camp contract. That's what they have. They're not a Houston Texan long term. They're brought in for the mini camp as a tryout, and that number in years past was pretty good sized number. I mean, you could run that number up to quite a few, like in the teens, if I remember correctly. This year it's limited to 5 because of the COVID-19. Well, the other part of that, show, is, as you said, second year players, third year players, second string, third string players. They will be invited by the organization, and the organization hopes that they come. The problem is the NFLPA is encouraging those players to not partake in voluntary workouts. And this mini camp is only mandatory for rookies. It would not be mandatory for a second or third year player that happens to be a backup, and the Texans would ask them to come out there. So that number is probably going to be a little bit smaller than normal as well. So the Texans could run into a numbers problem and not be able, you know, really be limited in what they can do, which it doesn't sound like Nick Caserio has a whole hell of a lot on the agenda anyway, from a sense of being on the practice field. But there's usually 4 different kind of players that are involved in the rookie minicamp, and two of those 4 different groups of players are going to be, I would think, significantly smaller than they typically are.
And with that point, just overall, as we're discussing here, the players expected to come to minicamp. Nick Caserio discusses that there are players on the current Houston Texan roster that could be there. As you said, man, this is a situation where you've got a lot of second year at least second, third year guys that are backups or vying to be starters that are coming into, I think, on the offense and defensive side, brand new systems, brand new coaches, right? I think Pep Hamilton on the offensive side is going to have a lot to say. I think James Campen, the offensive line coach, is going to have a lot to say, especially in the running game. And then Lovie Smith and that complete change of an entire style of defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3. Man, if you're guys like Ross Blacklock, if you're guys like Jonathan Grenard, if you're guys like Charles Omenihu, why not get in here and get that action and get more acclimated with this? Isaiah Coulter shouldn't even be a question. Like, I'm not kidding you. I cut him. That's probably strong. But I damn near think about cutting him if he just
– I'm with you. You ain't got to tell me.
This one out. I mean, you're a fifth-round pick that couldn't get on the field, and everybody got hit by a car last year with injury. And you didn't get on the field.
Show it. Let Lonnie Johnson not be there.
I wouldn't cut Lonnie.
I wouldn't cut him, but I damn sure hold it against him.
Yeah, it would make me wonder how serious you want to be about getting better.
I mean, look, this is one of the – like, if – as an organization, and I don't give a damn what the NFLPA says. I'm really put off by what they're doing, and there ain't no changing my mind on this deal. What they're doing is just not good for youngsters' careers at all, and it's not ultimately in the best interest of winning ball games. You can throw all the crap out there last year about how injuries were down, and I heard somebody this morning talking about because players were able to work out with their own trainers. Okay, that makes perfect sense. There is no reason. Perfect scenario for the Texans. Justin Reed should be out there with a script with Lovie Smith coaching these young dudes this weekend.
Oh, you see Justin Reed there too.
I
don't mind it.
There's a lot of guys that should be participating. I'm saying Justin Reed.
Did you experience that in Dallas when you were at mini camps that some veteran guys hanging that
around
were there,
all the place? Yeah, the guys, they weren't participating.
Yeah, but they were.
I mean, because, you know, you starters, if you're a starter, you don't need to be. Yeah, they were hanging around. They wanted to be part of the team.
It wouldn't be a shock if Darren Woodson was there helping out.
No, never. Never. Why would you? It just goes against everything that I believed in coming up. Like, I wanted to be at the field house. I wanted to be with my dudes. I wanted to be throwing the ball around. You know what I mean? Now all of a sudden guys get paid for it and they're getting encouraged to not be at the facility when they don't have to be. You spent your whole life playing the game and coaches and parents and teammates saying, man, we want y'all here. Come up here. It's safe. It's what, you know, you create chemistry. You can get closer to each other, and now all of a sudden they're encouraging guys to not be around the facility. It's absolutely silly. It's a shame that we're looking at a mini camp that's not that in 2021 in the NFL is not going to be what it once was from a standpoint of what you can get accomplished because the number of people that you have, the interest in being there that you have, they're not going to get the same kind of work because of what the Players Association is doing and encouraging guys not to be there. I just think it's silly. And for the Texans, it's going to be magnified times 10 because, as you mentioned, you got new OC, new DC, new scheme, new head coach.
New special teams coordinator.
Everything. And so you could think about what the special teams coach could do on one field, one of the four fields they got over there. Think about what he could do if all of the second and third string guys that are on special teams were invited and came to the camp. Think about what you could get done on the field, reps, walk-through situation, and you look and you go, oh, man, it's no big deal. That'll get done before the season starts. Probably so. Probably not a major ordeal, but still, it's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to get out there and for you to have a rookie and go, hey, young cat, y'all are all going to play special teams, damn it, right? Watch the pros do it. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to bring your young guys up the right way, and it's unfortunate that to me it seems like the veterans are going. But it's guys, you didn't even have to ask guys. I mean, that's what they did. I mean, bro, I watched Larry Allen bench 700 plus pounds in the offseason.
Good God. 700. I
mean, yes.
How many plates is that?
About as many as you can fit on a damn bar. Rocket Ismail jumped across his chest.
One time?
Once, yeah, one repped it. But I watched him do that in the offseason. I worked out an entire offseason because I'd injured my shoulder in college, played my rookie year in Dallas. In my second year, I went to the strength coach. I was like, man, I can't spin the rock like I used to. Like I've lost arm strength because I didn't rehab my arm right. He's like, well, then you need to work out, and this is what we're going to do. Boom, he put me with Darren Woodson on shoulder. I worked out an entire offseason with Darren. I mean, these are Ring of Honor guys. These are Hall of Fame guys. What were they doing? They were there working out. And look, I know. Look, I'm old school, and Father Time changes everything. But man, this whole idea of not being at a mini camp, the GM Nick Cassero has to say, well, you know, it's for some guys, it's not mandatory. Come on, man.
I'm thinking about that, and I'm listening to that again. And there was a part there where Cassero in that clip we just played, where I felt like. I hope some of them young guys are listening because it sounded like Nick veered to, hey, this is an expectation. If you just listen to him when he jumps into this part.
Extend the invitation, hey, to be interested. Again, it's an opportunity for them, quite frankly, to take some of the stuff they've been doing in the classroom and then maybe get on the field and apply it. Cadence, snap count, blocking technique, you know, go this way on this play just to hear the play call.
All right, when he says, quite frankly, this gives you an opportunity to take what you've learned in the classroom to the field.
Yeah.
When he hits you with that, quite frankly, like, I feel like he's saying, quite frankly, Ross, this gives you a chance to take this playbook and jump out here and show us what you do. Quite yeah. frankly, Lonnie, this gives you a chance to take that playbook to do. Like,
think about that show. Think about to magnify what you're saying. Word on the street is, in that building, right? Romeo Crennel's still over there. We heard it come out of Romeo Crennel's mouth. Rookies ain't ready. You don't think that Lovie Smith walked in there and Romeo Crennel updated him on rookies that weren't ready, and you think he told a different story? Right?
Probably.
No, he didn't. No. Tim Kelly on the offensive side of the football, Bill O'Brien, his mentor, was talking about rookies weren't ready to play. You think when Tim Kelly was asked about those rookies, he said, oh, yeah, they're great, man. They're all great, ready to
solid.
Play. No, he said they weren't ready to play. So it's Nick Cassero. He's sitting there. Nick Cassero, as far as he knows, every rookie he's got over the last 2 years ain't ready to play. And then here he is saying, it's just an opportunity. You come out and show that you can train.
And those are the two rookies. And then his two second round picks from 2 years ago, Max Sharping and Lonnie Johnson.
There you go.
Are getting pulled, switching positions.
So think about that. Your reputation, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you like it or not, your football reputation with a new regime taking over is – without a doubt, the rookies last year didn't know a damn thing and couldn't play for a 4-win football team. The first opportunity you get to get out on the field with this coaching staff and the NFLPA is encouraging you not to do it because it's not mandatory. What are you going to do? My ass is going to be at practice, partner. There is no – it makes no sense for any of these players – to one, not be invited, and two, not be there. That mindset is going to get guys cut left and right. If you weren't ready to play last year for a 4-win football team and you're not willing to take advantage of an opportunity that the GM's telling you, it's an opportunity for you to show that you can study something and then take it to the field, shame on you, man.
And I think if you're a player, and maybe I think Nick Cassero has probably expressed this privately. Because I don't know if David Culley.
But show he can't.
No, Nick Cassero expressed this privately. He expressed this privately to them. Let me ask you that then. When Bill Parcells or Dave Campo, they set up expectations, they may say one thing to the media, but didn't they – this is what we expect.
It was code. I mean, it was just how things. Yeah, it's voluntary, but it's mandatory. It's voluntary, but you're expected to be here. I mean,
if you're not here, you're gonna potentially lose some.
No, they were gonna hold it against you. That's the reality of the situation, and that is precisely why the NFLPA is doing what they're doing right now is because. It's that you can't tell me what to do generation of, Well, y'all have always just expected us to show up, and when it wasn't mandatory, when it was quote unquote voluntary, and y'all told us behind closed doors it was mandatory, and we always just showed up anyway. That's not going to happen anymore moving forward. That's what we're doing. The difference now is you got an NFLPA that's encouraging guys not to be there, right? And so if you're the GM, if you're Nick Caserio, how do you address that situation, right? He can't go to players and be as vocal as he wants to be about it, because if it gets to one player that's a leader on the team, and word gets out that Nick Caserio is telling players, hey, man, no show if you want to.
But it's a problem.
It's going to be a major problem. The NFLPA is going to hear about it. They're going to blow it up. It's going to be this major issue in the NFL. The difference right now is the NFLPA stance. And the problem, my biggest concern is how do coaches and GMs handle it in 2021? Now, you can behind the scenes talk to your coaches and be like, hey, old boy just didn't show up. We're gonna cut him, or we're gonna hold it against him. But ultimately, I mean, they can't be vocal about it. Nick Caserio can't go tell those guys, hey, we're gonna invite you to this deal and your ass better be there. He can't do that. I mean, he'll get raked over the coals in 2021 by the NFLPA doing that.
I would hope there's a way he gets his message across.
I would hope to. I'm with you.
Maybe that was it, but there's a way. Like, to me, I heard that his code is there's some fellas that better be up in there.
Well, me and you were raised in it. We were raised in a way of, like, you had – Teresa spoke code, you know.
She didn't speak. She just told me.
Well, yeah, but you knew how serious she was. She didn't need to say a whole lot to get her point across.
Teresa didn't raise no punk.
She didn't.
Well, that jury's still out on that
one. He didn't. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, Texas All Access. Coming up behind us. One thing Kyle McNair was excited about when he spoke to the media yesterday is something that we are all excited about here.
Yeah, I'm excited for the schedule release Wednesday evening, and so that's always a fun time. Then you start planning your friends planning their trips to go see a game they want to go see, and there's a lot of excitement around that, so that'll be a lot of fun later this week.
That's right, Kyle. Kyle's excited about the schedule release. And don't worry, we know many of you are, and we got you.
I'm with Cal.
That's right, I am
one. I got a question.
Real quick, we got them covered tomorrow night, 7 o'clock to 9. Yeah. Join us as we unveil the Texan schedule. All the hosts will be there, and our guys, Wade Smith and Cecil Schwartz, will jump in as well. Go ahead.
7 o'clock to 9 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to break that schedule down whenever it pops. What's the owner's name again?
Cal.
Say it again.
Kyle.
I've been wondering this entire show. I've been wanting you to ask him that.
What? It's Cal.
It's Cal.
Cal.
You sound like my country uncle, my country aunt saying, Cal. Hollering at her nephew, Kyle.
Cal McNair.
Sound like Cartman from South Park. It's Can.
Oh, it ain't. That ain't right. That ain't right.
Cal.
It's Can.
It's Cal.
I can't tell. It took me a while to figure out if you were saying Kyle or Kale.
I'm saying Kyle. It's Kyle McNair. Kyle McNair.
Cam McNair.
Shut your ass.
I'm trying to think who.
Kyle McNair.
It's Cal.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, how do you say calories?
I'm saying Cal.
How do you say calories?
Calories.
Right. See, that's.
Cal.
I'm with Cal.
Cal, I'm with Cal.
Yeah,
Cal.
There you go. Now you got it. You were saying Kyle, and I was like, is he talking about Kyle or Cal?
I've been wondering this.
I didn't know which one you were talking
That's
about.
That's just y'all ears.
Oh, it's my ears? It's my ears are flapping?
Hold on, so.
Both y'all ears together. It's Kyle.
We all know names aren't your strength, man. We love you for it.
Shut up.
We do.
I don't want to talk about your strengths, your non-strengths. Kyle. Everybody knows the hell I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about, Bub. I was just curious.
7 to 9 tomorrow.
I'm with Cal.
And I'm excited with Cal.
There it is. Yes. Yes.
I'm so excited.
I'm not saying Kyle.
I'm with Ken.
Kyle.
I'm not saying that.
Kyle.
Ken.
I didn't say Kyle.
Kyle.
Kyle. That's Kyle. I didn't call him Kyle McNair. I said Cal.
Okay.
We'll work on it.
We can use that. You know what? We can use that rewind feature of the Odyssey app and find out.
I've lost 103 pounds. You're not going to steal my joy away. Not going to steal my joy away.
You got to buy some new gear, don't you?
I've been slowly doing it. And Cal, he'd be proud of.
Cal is definitely proud of you, no doubt about
Texans
it.
Texans all access
what
behind
What kind of draws
us.
You going with?
That's the next thing, man. I'm scared.
Well, that needs to be the first thing, because if your pants are going to hang a little bit, your draws
we'll
are going
to talk about
show.
My draws tomorrow, because I'm in a real quandary. Because I want to try them on, but you can't try on. Anyway, here we go. We're in tomorrow. Whoa. Texans all access tomorrow. Great job, Clint. Awful job from Tyler. I'm Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.